Ladies and gentlemen, this type of day is, I would say, what group chat was created for.
Mm-hmm.
We are in the middle. Would you call it a revolution? Are we in the middle of a revolution?
I would say it was my favorite 48 hours on the internet since I've been alive.
Wow.
Wow. And I can't even really dispute that. Okay, so we are in the middle of a massive, massive event. And we can't wait to chat about it. That's all you need to know.
Yeah.
You guys ready to just get into it?
It gets fiery.
All right, let's get into it. Here we go.
Cash.
Ladies and gentlemen, group chat. Cash.
Go, Woody, go.
Guys, I gotta say, I'm a little sore today.
What?
That's what we're starting with? After all that?
I'm a little sore.
It's been the biggest 48 hours on the internet.
Listen, I felt like this was a little bit more personal for the group. And I wanted to come clean and say I feel a little sore because I got a brand new Peloton in my living room.
I mean, you don't even have power. Who are you to have a bike?
Well, turns that's out the Peloton consumer.
Well, I know. The power actually hurt my delivery, but power came back. Peloton came in, went for a nice little ride last night. Great product. Love it.
I mean, you're a clown.
Okay. Well, listen, I decided I'm switching sides. So
it's such an elitist move in a time where we need to stand up for the people.
Yeah. I understand. And you want to know what's going to allow me to stand up better for the people? Better cardio. I got to stay standing. I don't want to get tired.
But
when
you're
I'm standing.
Sitting.
I'm doing all the standing for the people. And you know, I don't want to get tired.
So are you just
while I'm standing?
Are you just I don't even know why you were standing just now.
Yeah. He put his ass to the audience. Live here on Twitch, you can see Drama's ass today.
And I was standing for the people.
What was the experience? Was the setup nice?
Setup was nice. It was easy to set up. Log in, do your little boop boop boop, connect to your Wi-Fi, pick a class, hip hop class.
And I'm guessing you had some instructor with big boobs. Is that why you signed up?
It was a dude. I had some dude, some muscular dude.
Oh,
and,
whatever.
Whatever you want.
Hey, we don't judge over here in the Peloton crowd. Yeah. Okay?
And you live in a building, so people below you, no issues. It wasn't like rumbling.
No rumble. It's sturdy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sturdy. You don't really hear nothing. But you just pop in some AirPods, and you know.
Okay, we're gonna bike. We're gonna uphill climb now.
Yep. Let's push up to level 14. Love yourself today. Love yourself.
I've never loved myself so much.
Spinning is stupid.
And then you just hop right in the shower and you're home.
It's always the people closest to you that you least suspect. Bam.
To be fair, John has been saying he was gonna get a Peloton for 2 years.
Okay.
You know what's funny is I quietly signed up for a Peloton 2 times, but the delivery window was 3 months out and I canceled both times. But now I waited it out and, you know, I'm a proud owner. So I just thought we'd start with that. I just want to keep you guys updated. I'm standing for the people. Should I stand again?
No. I'm rallying with Wall Street Bets to pummel the stock to the ground and defund Peloton.
Okay, well, you can't do that with just a great American company. Okay. Let's get to the real news.
Yes.
We're in fucking Stonkageddon over here.
Stonkageddon.
So I'm not the one to speak on it, but here's what I know. This is absurd. This is absolutely insane. When it comes to the list of things that you always remember, 20 years from now, you will be able to show us the GameStop logo and we'll be like, 2021.
Yeah.
What a time.
Yeah.
I also got to say, last night I, you know, put some cash on Nokia and AMC. Go, I'm with you guys. And I woke up in the morning, shut down. This is bigger. To me, this is 10 times bigger than them deplatforming Donald Trump.
It is.
If it comes to real concerns about the future and how things are regulated, to me, that's.
Well, the big discussion of today, it really needs to start with just the history of finance in America and really the whole world, is that we've always. I think 2008 was really the eye-opening experiencing for me where I'm like, we're going to bail out all these banks for playing the most riskiest trades mm-hmm. with credit swap defaults. And we're just, going to just say, sorry, we're going to take American taxpayer money and bail out all these people that were gambling. They were fucking gambling. In 2008, all the Wall Street banks were gambling and they lost. But because when they lose, it affects billions and trillions of dollars, it's okay. When American citizens lose, we don't do anything. We didn't give out a stimulus in 2008 for the average American person that lost their home, that was got served predatory lending. We didn't do shit. Instead, we got served a recession that most of America never recovered from.
Well, I just want to tie on to that, because a lot of people are mentioning that, and I do think that's the biggest, and I do think that seeded resentment that lasted forever.
Yeah.
But we just got out of a time when a lot of big companies just got bailed out and got taken care of and got whatever, and people got given $600.
So let's before we get into obviously all these important things you guys are saying, let's set up what happened in the last 48 hours. So
if you don't know what fucking happened, get off our podcast.
Yeah, honestly, go fuck yourself.
No, because no, the minutia actually matters.
Yeah, I agree.
So you have Wall Street hedge funds that were short GameStop, AMC, Nokia, Blockbuster, a handful of other companies.
And to be clear, they were short GameStop more than shares that existed?
Correct. And that's because of leverage that they have access to because they have prime brokerage accounts.
So there's some fuckery already right there?
Yes.
Well, that's pretty much what your Michael Burry, what is that his name?
Yeah, Michael Burry.
He did that. He
exposed that because he saw how much leverage people had on the housing market in subprime lending, that he was like, the math doesn't make sense, because in 2008, all you needed was a small percentage of the mortgages to be underwater for the whole house to come down.
Yeah.
No pun intended.
Yep.
But so what's going on now is, or what happened was, you have hedge funds that were extremely short all these companies.
Specifically, GameStop was the one that got exposed.
Yeah, 140% short interest. And a Reddit board, Wall Street Bets, actually noticed this, I think, over a year and a half ago.
Deep fucking value is the one that first
spotted. Deep fucking value spotted this like over a year and a half
ago. It's actually called deep fucking value.
Yeah. It might even be deep ducking value, because he wanted to stay on the platform, I think.
Nice.
Yeah, I think. But anyway, so they spotted this short, heavily short interest. And they've been going long GameStop for a while. Mm-hmm. And they couldn't believe why it was trading at such a low share price, and that's because all of Wall Street was short the stock. Mm-hmm. So what conspired in the last kind of 72 hours is Wall Street Bets, which is a Reddit board that had 2.7 million followers like 2 days ago. Now it's like 4.8 million, probably more by the time we're even recording. I looked this morning. Mm-hmm. They basically all kind of banded together and was like, we could take down this short.
Yeah.
Because if enough volume comes and you trigger a stock that goes from like a few hundred million to a billion, it automatically has to be bought by ETFs.
Yeah.
So like there's a domino effect. So they were playing.
And there's a deadline to the short.
Not necessarily. There were options that were expiring, so that's part of it. But it was just really, there was so much short exposure that if enough people go long, it triggers so many different things in the financial ecosystem that everyone has to either cover their shorts or go long or automatically go long. Yeah. So there are ETFs that automatically go long once a company hits $1 billion.
Yeah.
Because they're like, oh, we just need a basket of stocks. GameStop, great. Like whatever, right?
Yeah.
So this is no different than what hedge funds do on a daily basis. The only difference is it is people on Reddit.
Yep.
And this is why Wall Street went up in arms.
Yep.
And the most fascinating thing, I never watched CNBC. Like, D's a Harvard man. I'm a Bloomberg man.
Got it.
Yeah.
I think CNBC is like for clowns.
It's Fox News. It's trash.
It's Fox News. But because of all this Reddit stuff, and obviously Chamath goes on, so I like it when Chamath goes on, because he knows he has the biggest crowd there.
Yep.
All of a sudden, everyone's talking about fundamentals.
Yeah.
Like, we got to look at earnings. These traders are going to get screwed.
Oh, to watch it flip. And like, they're like, whoa, guys, let's.
And hold on. I want to make one other point. Who was talking about fundamentals when the Wynn stock was going up uninterruptedly when the entire casino was closed globally?
Yeah.
How many concerts have you been to, drama, in the last 12 months?
Last 12 months. Let me see. No, I don't think any.
And Live Nation's at a damn near all-time high.
Yeah. Oh.
So where are people talking about fundamentals when they're talking about all these companies that's been going on for the last year?
Well, that's different.
And what's crazy is so many people went on CNBC and kept saying, this is gambling. This is gambling. That's what the fuck you guys do too.
Yes.
You guys just rig.
You do it with the Harvard degree. Like, no fucking joke.
Yeah.
When you're allowed to gamble with the Harvard degree, you're allowed to make billions of dollars. When these Redditors are making...
Hold on. When you say Harvard degree, I want you to point at me.
Yeah, that's true. That's fair.
When you do it with a Harvard degree, yes. It's legal.
It's
celebrated. It's not even legal.
You look like a genius.
You're a genius.
You're a genius. Look how he manipulated the markets and figured out this trade.
But here's the biggest thing that I just want to end it for the person who was following along with that and didn't, whatever, is it has gotten so big that they have shut it down. So they started by throttling the, or what do you call it, when they turn off this trading?
They halted trading.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Over and over, though.
Yeah.
Like, just over and over, which normally they do when something's crashing. Yes. Right? So just keep halting the trading. Then Robinhood today just completely blocked all trades.
So you could sell your position, but you couldn't buy it. So
that's the most fucked up.
This is dictatorship.
No, I believe they also, I didn't like Citadel or someone also bluff and say, we sold our positions.
Well, this is the rumor that's circulating that, give people background. Mm-hmm. Citadel is a large hedge fund, $34 billion, I think, under management.
It's one of the largest hedge funds. Whatever they say under management, I guarantee you it's a lot more.
Okay, so a ton of money.
Ken Griffin, the guy who bought the $200 million condo in New York. I think he bought something $150 million out here. Yeah. This guy spent $150 million for houses and Pokemon cards.
I just want to say one piece is when you say Robin Hood, point to Pete. So it's Harvard degree, Robin Hood.
and what you also have to realize is that Citadel is supposedly the largest customer of Robin Hood for their data flow,
yep.
Trade flow.
Is it like 60%? Is that possible?
Yeah, it's possible. We don't know. All these details will get exposed now. Then it is rumored that Citadel put pressure on Robinhood on this. Like, you need to stop this because Citadel is the one that bought Melvin.
Yep.
And then during this time, the also rumor is that Citadel reloaded on shorts because they knew that you couldn't buy the stock anymore. It had to tank. And it is just, this is so criminal what these people are doing. And I'm so glad it's done in the public now. It's exposed because it's not just Citadel. It's fucking everybody on Wall Street that's in on the fix. And I've always been very anti-public equities because when I found out about 2008, I was like, this shit's rigged. We're never going to get a fair shake at this.
I mean, we could go back to however many years we've been doing this podcast. I've been saying this ever since we started doing this. The game is rigged. Yeah. It's always been rigged. Yeah. It's not meant for the average person to make money. And this is the first time that the average person got one up on Wall Street and they shut the game down.
Yes.
Dave Portnoy's done a great job of explaining it in very layman terms. Like, this is the equivalent. This is what he said. If it's fourth down in the fourth quarter and you don't get it in the NFL, you just stop the game and say, hey, you get two more tries.
Yeah.
That is what, if you want to break it down in the most simplest terms,
yeah, it is.
That is what happened.
But what feels so dangerous to me is the reason this is happening is because of that behavior. And now you got caught where you had no choice but to either let those guys get fucked or to continue that behavior on such an audacious level in plain sight. And now everyone is just, now you're fucked.
Yeah.
Now these Reddit fuckers and I went on TikTok for my nightly download last night.
Post the spin.
Post spin, get to wind down with some TikTok. And it was all this.
Yes.
And this is the same thing. It's like the BTS, when the BTS people, bought the tickets for Trump and blah, blah, blah. Like, you've just riled everyone up so much worse and you're going to pay for it.
And
the revolution isn't this. I think you maybe posted this, but it's not pitchforks in the street.
No.
It's fucking on Reddit and Robinhood. Like, you're going to get fucked.
And this is why, what we're seeing now is a lot of backpedaling because Robinhood is out posting why they did it. And it's not just Robinhood, by the way. TD Ameritrade did it. Yeah. All the fucking brokerage houses, the retail brokerage houses. But
it's just funny that they're called Robinhood.
Yeah, it just did. Yeah.
We've been talking about that forever.
I know, yeah. But I didn't believe it. Like, I didn't believe it. Yeah. I bought into the Robinhood brand. I'm like, nah, I get it. But no, it's great for the whatever. They don't give a fuck.
And yeah. We're on Twitch. The founder of Twitch, Justin Kahn, he's the one who's been posting and exposing a lot of the things. He's the one who posted, just got a tip that Citadel reloaded their shorts before they told Robinhood to stop trading GameStop. If this is true, Ken Griffin and the Robinhood founders should be in jail. This is class warfare. Let me be very clear. Justin Kahn is as dialed in to Silicon Valley as anyone.
Yeah.
He is a public persona. He hosts these large Clubhouse chats. He's on Twitter all the time. He documents his life. If he's tweeting that, that must be coming from a real source. I don't know Justin. I have friends that know him. I don't think he's just tweeting this to like
rile people up.
Correct.
Yeah.
I think he heard something. He's, dude, the guy started Twitch. Like, you know, he was a former YC partner. Yeah, like, yeah. The guy knows a lot of
information. Yeah, I'm sure he's
people.
Probably invested in Robinhood. I mean,
he knows a con when he sees it.
Yeah.
Adit, sorry, we cut you off just like super blatantly.
Yeah, yeah, and I think the main thing that we really need to focus on is that throughout time, regular folks were always treated like morons, that you need to give your money to a mutual fund manager, give your money to this guy, and he'll manage it, and you'll be fine, and blah, 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 and I'll take care of you. I went and looked up Citadel's portfolio. The motherfucker's biggest holding is Microsoft. The second is the S&P 500 ETF. Why the fuck are we paying Ken Griffin $2.20 to manage fucking five big companies? I mean, he literally has Apple, Microsoft, fucking Tim has these stocks. Yeah. And this guy, there's LPs that are paying this guy $2.20?
Yeah.
That's fucking ridiculous. These guys are con artists. They should all, honestly, like, what happened if people don't go to jail and companies don't get disbanded and disfunded? This is people worried about like violence in the streets. This is going to be way worse. We're now going to find companies and destroy them financially. It's way more powerful because burning down a building only hurts the guy that owns that one building.
Yeah.
Burning down the house on GameStop ruined people's lives.
Mm-hmm.
And then they retaliated and ruined a bunch of, I have a friend of mine. He's in the chat. He told me he had AMC, call options, and he posted it, 4,200% he made. He should be able to sell that shit and make money.
Yeah, right.
No, instead, the stupid stock plummets 50% because you can't buy it.
Yeah, because here's
that's fucked up.
Yeah. Here's the real issue. Fundamentals didn't matter for 10 months. Now why do fundamentals matter?
Yeah.
Fundamentals have never mattered.
Never mattered.
The idea is it's a free market. Whoever's buying, whoever's selling. And let's be clear, the only reason the short squeeze happened is because of what we originally said was that they were allowed to 140% short the stock 140% of short interest.
Yeah.
Like if that mechanism didn't exist, there's no way the stock could have run like this.
Yeah, that was a response to something.
They found a flaw in the financial system.
And exploited it.
Yes.
That's why you should be rewarded for that. Yeah. Because they get to be rewarded for it all the time.
Yeah.
They're fucked. I also would argue that what happened in 2008, even though it was more devastating for like the everyday person and the overall economy of the world, it was less flagrant than what this is. Because at least you had the argument of like, we got to do this. We can't have the entire banking system crash. Yeah. We can't have the blah, blah, blah. This is like one fund that is really doing something so criminal to save themselves. I mean, I know it's deeper than that, but it's just so crooked. Well, it's not like if this happens, the banking system or the lending system in this country could fail and it could blah, blah, blah. It's
save me $5 billion.
Yeah.
That's it.
Like, I don't want to downplay it for less than it is, but it's that and it's so criminal.
And unfortunately, Ken Griffin went to my alma mater.
Oh my God. You Harvard guys, I'm not sure, man.
Yeah. Harvard makes USC look like a church.
Isn't Veritas, isn't that truth?
Yeah, the worst thing you do at USC is you fake your kid as a water polo player.
We're such USC is petty criminals.
That's
these
true.
Guys destroy that's people's
true.
Lives.
That's really true. Yeah. It's not looking so bad. Yeah. They're photoshopped on a water polo player.
I mean, release Lori Loughlin and Massimo right
poor
away.
Poor Lori, man.
I mean, why is she going to jail?
So what? Damn. I mean, what happens here?
Here's the thing I find most interesting is that this is not just armed rebels on Reddit. They now have tech billionaires awake about how messed up this is. And that is the biggest difference from anything that we've seen. So you have Chamath, who's gone on, he's on a warpath. Yeah. Like, I don't know if
I think this is his thing. He found his thing.
Yeah.
This is like almost like Davy Day Trader, like you need a thing.
Yeah.
I think this is going to be what catapults him to superstardom.
So you have Chamath, who went on CNBC, did a 30-minute interview just explaining the fuckery and how, like, absolutely criminal what's going on. This is before they even banned the stocks.
Yeah.
So I can't even imagine what his takes now. So then you have him. You have David Sachs, another tech billionaire. You have Justin Kahn, tech billionaire.
I'll tell you who you have even bigger than all of that is Ted Cruz and AOC. No, Ted Cruz retweeted.
This is the only thing we've ever agreed on.
So you have bipartisan. Tech billionaires, Ted Cruz, AOC, Dave Portnoy.
Elon Musk.
Yeah. What's bigger than that?
That's it.
And you even have like Logan Paul. Yeah. You know, you got it all. This you is got the only thing all. We've agreed on in the last two decades.
I'm telling you, I know this sounds so far-fetched. They're going to disband these funds. I guarantee you, when they start doing homework, they did it to Steve Cohen. So Steve Cohen, who's the owner of the Mets, gets to be a billionaire. He is a notorious, he had a fund called SAC that got disbanded. They told him you can't take money from people anymore because of all the illegal shit he was doing.
So here, I'll explain that. So SAC, Steve Cohen.
The inspo for billions, right?
Yeah. So a lot of suspected insider trading. A number of his lieutenants got caught.
Never ratted him out.
No, he never had email.
Yeah.
So there's no trace. So everyone else had email. So that was like his like angle.
Yeah.
So the fund had to get disbanded. He had to manage his own money for I don't know how many years. But last year, or maybe 2 years ago, they allowed him to start taking external money. So .72, which is part of this whole fuckery, he just got a slap on the wrist, was caught for insider trading.
Mm-hmm.
They couldn't get to him because the evidence was just not there because he's covered his tracks.
He's like a drug dealer. This motherfucker doesn't use email or no written. He's
but then here's his fatal flaw. The guy went after Portnoy.
It's a wrap.
Mm. Well, see you later, buddy.
So, do not go after fucking Portnoy.
The problem is these old fucks don't understand. They just don't understand the internet.
No.
Yeah. That's how dangerous it is.
This guy learned that I can scam billions of dollars without using email and let everyone else get caught except for me that work for me.
And he made a sly comment. He goes, trading's kind of tough, tougher than you thought or something like that. I'm like, you're a cheater. You didn't trade like us.
And what was the Portnoy like?
Portnoy just said like he needs to be in jail. No, so like Steve Cohen or Portnoy wrote like all these people need to go to jail. Steve Cohen, founders of Robinhood, CEO of Robinhood, Ken Griffin, Citadel. And then Steve Cohen responds like, why are you going after me, Dave? Like, this seems like weird. And then Portnoy just kept going after him. And made some great memes of like tackling him in the mud. So he put like Steve
because he has a full time meme creator. This guy has a dude that's in like Kentucky somewhere buried, and this dude just sits there and memes people to death.
And then Steve Cohen, he's obviously a smart dude, or whoever's writing his Twitter knew not to go a little too far. So just kind of like
his son or something was like, no. So
please
chill,
stop.
Chill. Do not, red alert.
Yeah.
And so he tamed him down and then Portnoy just ended it. Like, I don't believe anything this guy just said, Steve Cohen, but I don't have the evidence. I just see smoke where there's fire, whatever. Like he just kind of did it because I'm sure Steve Cohen's kids were like, yo, you're about to get bodied.
We saw it happen to Suit Man, dad, down.
And no, here's the thing, like, we are in we're already in this weird zone of inequality that is now exposed between the way the stimulus was handed out, between the way healthcare has been given to people that have been sick the last year. Now you're seeing in the most fundamental level, like, yo, we can't make money because a couple billionaires get mad.
Yeah.
So this is it. And like, honestly, like, unfortunately, I think Robinhood will be the one that falls on the sword because they're the most public and they're not, I don't think they're going to get a slap on the wrist. Oh, here's a $50-100 million, $1 billion fine. I think they may bring down the fucking house. And I think they're going to go after these fund managers. I think Citadel is going to have a shitload of legislation coming. Because now, as a politician, there's no reason to defend any of these people. It's bad for business.
I mean, you have Ted Cruz and AOC agreeing on anything, you're fucked.
Exactly. Even Donald Trump Jr. is on it. Like, everyone's in on it now. So you're not going to see resistance from anybody. No one's going to feel bad if a billionaire loses their fund or gets thrown in jail. And I just think when you have public figures like Dave Portnoy and Chamath, who they have such a, I mean, it's a cult, right? These people are running cults on the internet. Yeah. Wall Street Bets is a cult. And they're going to rile up all these people and they're going to be like, all right, where does Ken Griffin live? What else does he own?
Yeah, or like, man, if you have any skeletons in that closet.
It's inspiring. It's very inspiring what's going on. And I know, unfortunately, a lot of people got fucked today because they couldn't sell their stock and the stocks crashed. And like, there was definitely carnage along the way.
Yeah.
But it's inspiring to me because the world isn't as complicated as they make you want to believe it is.
They keep them
down. Finance isn't that hard. When I was in investment banking, I got the best lesson I ever learned was follow the cash. Mm-hmm. That's finance. It's very simple. Follow the cash.
Yeah.
And you can figure everything else out. But they want to confuse you with all these different terminologies and all these different words to make you think you're not smart enough to understand it.
Yeah.
And I felt it like very personally firsthand when I went to investment banking and I went to training. And I went to USC, which isn't Harvard, Stanford, Wharton. Not like my Harvard brother.
Yeah, like not like your brother.
I got the short end of the stick and went to USC.
Yeah.
But when I went to training, 99% of the fellow people that were in Citigroup in my class, it was Harvard, Stanford, Princeton, Yale, Stanford. That's it.
Yeah.
And USC was like literally looking like I went to community college.
Yeah.
Like people were like, probably like, who's this fucking clown from USC?
Yeah.
And it was very intimidating. But then once I got on the job, I was like, this isn't that fucking hard.
Yeah.
It's just math.
Yeah.
But they make you think it's like so hard and they come in all polished. And that's my beef with these whole rant about being polished.
Yeah.
They all show up polished and make you think you can't be them.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that.
that's Dee's kind of whole
thing. Who cares? Like, I crushed it. My first year's top bucket, whatever. It's like, I didn't have that same education as the Harvard Wharton guys. And I'm not saying I had a bad education. My point is, it wasn't hard.
Yeah.
Well, that is my point.
Yeah.
Well, not about like achieving. I was like, this isn't hard. And Wall Street wants to make you think it's hard.
Well, they definitely, I mean, the entire concept of a fund is to say, you can't do what I can do, so pay me to do it. We're paying Citadel to invest in Microsoft?
Yeah.
Microsoft?
I mean,
Bill Gates?
An ETF. Well,
I knew about Bill Gates 30 years ago, too,
motherfucker. Everyone knew about Tesla 6 months ago. You didn't need to pay 2 and 20 to fucking 20x on Tesla.
This guy's second position is the S&P 500 ETF.
The fact that an ETF is your second biggest...
I mean, you're an idiot. Sorry. Like, what is the big deal? Like, this is a very, you know, it goes back to transparency that the financial institution in America needs to be more transparent. And that's what we're seeing across. There's a lot of companies trying to disrupt it with fintech. Robinhood was there. Their business model was flawed, though. They should have fucking charged 99 cents a trade instead and not sold their fucking order flow. Yeah. Because now this is, think about it from a brand standpoint. How do you repair this brand? I mean, it is the most hated brand. I mean, no one's even talking about Facebook anymore.
No. It's, Facebook who?
I mean, this is hated, more hated than ISIS.
Mm-hmm. today it is.
Yeah.
It really is.
Today it is.
Like, I've never seen so much anger. Like, Dave Portnoy is saying Robin Hood die, go to jail. He's not saying that about ISIS.
No, it's their own people turning on.
Big Cat changed his name to fuck Robin Hood.
Cat.
And then, on Twitter.
And Cat,
Robin
right?
Cat.
Yeah, and by the way, the CEO's name is Vlad, right?
Yeah.
And he said he wants to skull fuck him.
Big Cat wants to skull fuck
Vlad.
Vlad. For the record, we're not, just so you know, we're not talking about my brother here. Talking about the Barstool guy.
Yeah, the Barstool guy. But it just, like, from a brand standpoint, how do you fix this? Because the only solution I thought, when I went for a run, and I was like, if I'm the CEO of Robinhood, what do I do? I would literally...
You say, thank God I took that secondary.
Yes, because yeah, you may never see a penny again.
Yeah.
Two things. They're trying to go public. Imagine the short position.
Holy when this nuts. Company, Reddit army will go insane.
They're going to try to bankrupt this company.
Mm-hmm.
This is public enemy number one.
This is the one thing I just want to point out. I didn't already point it out, but I want to reiterate. The only reason that this worked is because of all the massive funds that play on momentum anyway.
Yeah. Yes.
And they tricked that system.
Yeah.
Like, that's just the biggest, like, the fact that you can even manipulate what could happen to a Robinhood or whatever because so many fucking other people are just riding momentum.
Yeah.
It's just, I don't know.
But like, I was trying to think of how do you fix this from a Robinhood perspective. The only thing I could think of is all the money that was lost today for every trader, refund them their money. Give it back to them. What is that, $1 billion? It's worth it. I would do it. I give everyone, if you have to hand out $1 billion, if you lost 50 grand, the next day Robinhood deposits 50 grand in your account. They literally should do that.
They won't, though.
I think they're fucked regardless.
I don't think, yeah. If you do that, well, I don't think so.
I don't think that would cure it. I think it'd be like, yeah, you're trying, but the point still stands that this is a corrupt system.
Yeah, that's not their fault. No, they're playing in that system.
No, but point, now they've chosen to be on the side of the corrupt system.
And the fact that I think, we've obviously said this ad nauseum on this podcast. The way Robinhood makes money is they sell order flow.
Yeah.
I don't think people understood that what that really meant until Wall Street Bets.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And when the average guy got screwed, they actually understood what that meant.
Think about how smart that actually is. They realize the vulnerability in this overshort. Mm-hmm. They realize that they could cause a chain reaction, mm-hmm. not get the reaction themselves. And they gamed the entire fucking system.
Which is what Wall Street does every day.
They do it.
They just didn't like the fact that the average guy did it.
Yeah.
That the average guy on Reddit was able to figure this out. And that's the sickening part because that's what I was alluding to earlier. They want to make you think it's more complicated than it really is.
Yeah.
And all it took was a Reddit board to be like, hey, they're actually fucked if we all do this. It's the same way that Michael Burry made his money shorting the housing market because he realized like, wait, this doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
You can't have trillions of dollars on mortgages on subprime loans that if a handful start collapsing, the whole place comes down. That's the sickening part. And I hope that this, because of the individuals involved that are in support of the Wall Street Bets Redditors, there actually is some consequence because if it was just the Reddit guys, they have no shot of getting justice. But now you have Chamath, you have David Sachs, you have Portnoy, you have Elon Musk, Ted Cruz, AOC.
That's a scary group. I don't want to go up against any of them, but not as a group.
That group has not ever in their lives agreed on one thing.
And no, they don't lose, let's be clear.
Yeah, that's why they're all in that position.
Like, when has Dave Portnoy lost the internet battle?
And that's what this is.
Never you know how many? You know the controversial things he has said, and he has still won.
Yeah,
like there are things I will not even repeat myself. And this guy got up.
And Chamath just eviscerated the CNBC host yesterday.
Did. Well, that guy was being a jackass.
Yeah, and Chamath is a genius.
But that just still shows that bullshit ass mentality. Like you still think like, haha, these Robinhood or these Reddit. Are they really doing the diligence?
Yeah.
Shut the fuck up. You just got
did you see Chamath was like, I've seen the hedge fund analyst analysis. I've seen the Wall Street Bets analysis.
Yeah.
It's just equal work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like he made that very clear. And then I think the best part of that interview was he was like, you don't care. Because the host kept saying, Scott, he kept saying, I just want to protect these people's money. I'm happy they're making money. And Chamath called him out. He goes, you don't want them to make money. Like, why are you lying?
Yeah.
Why are you lying that you're happy that these guys are making money?
No.
And even the person that came on before, why are they lying? You guys don't want them to make money.
Yeah.
And then at the end, he said, Scott, I love you. I hope you're on the right side of history on this one. Change your opinion.
Yeah. Zach White said Michael Burry was early on the GameStop thing as well.
I mean, look, he made $271 million in 4 months. That is crazy.
So he went long.
Yeah. Well,
he saw the short.
He saw I was overshorted and went long.
Yeah. I mean, when you say short, Michael Burry's head just pops up.
Yeah.
I mean,
he might be getting crushed on Tesla, though.
Yeah. Oh, he's shorted Tesla?
Yeah.
Oh. But well, can't win them all, Mike.
But I do believe there's going to be consequences this time because
of the personalities behind it.
Who is on this to enforce? Who enforces this?
So AOC is going on Twitch at 5:30 with a special guest. It appears to be Chamath.
No.
And because the All In Pod said, is a bestie going on? Question mark. And I'd assume it's Chamath. And AOC goes, well, I have some special guests, so we'll see.
Chamath or Dave Portnoy, I'll take either one.
But here's the thing is, if so Congress has to enforce the changes, right? And the SEC needs to change rules. All these things need to happen. I think if AOC and Ted Cruz understand that this is a problem, but we aren't necessarily the ones to understand how to fix it, then let's go get Chamath, Elon Musk, and a handful of other folks who understand it and say, you help us fix it.
Agreed. Because but who arrests Vlad?
I mean, if we do not see people in jail over this, this is crisis.
So we didn't see.
But how does that work?
We didn't see one person. No person of consequence. That's went to jail in 2008.
Different era. We didn't know what was going on. We literally did not know. We didn't know. We were scared that the banking system was falling apart. That something happened. We didn't know till that fucking movie came out.
Till Steve Carell
Till Steve Carell met some strippers. We were like, oh my god, that was years later.
Yeah,
that was half a decade later, and we were just happy that we were alive and being able to make an income. Now we are trading along for the ride, and we got screwed for no reason. Absolutely no reason.
Yeah.
And the internet is way different now. The internet has now empowered people that you can make a change. I mean, the Capitol insurrection is an example. People have fucking power.
Yeah.
More power than they ever did before. So I just don't think I don't think it's going to be untouched. I think you're going to see people behind bars.
Someone's going to go behind bars?
Ken Griffin Jr. in cuffs.
I think the fines will be endless.
I think companies will get shut down. I wouldn't be surprised if a fund got disbanded.
Blanco's got us covered here. He said Robinhood's drawing on credit.
Yeah, I read that. It was a breaking news that they're now drawing
on credit. So I should be pulling all my money out here. Robinhood.
I mean, Robinhood is tough.
Well, I put it in the Dogecoin real quick to see if I can do a flip, and then I'm getting out.
One last flip.
Give me Dogecoin real quick. Let's get Dogecoin to $1.
What's interesting is Silver Lake, the private equity firm up north, is joining Wall Street Bets in a lawsuit against Robinhood.
Class action lawsuit.
That's separate from the Southern District of New York. This is a one in California.
Wow.
I mean, lawsuits out the ass.
But here's the insane part. Robinhood is the number one app in the App Store right now.
I mean, it probably
you think it's just because everyone's talking about it? We're like, oh, I got to figure out what this Robinhood is.
Yeah, for sure.
But I mean, I've talked to younger friends of ours that trade. I mean, Himanshu, who listens to the pod, he says, I've never been more passionate about a cause than this.
Yeah.
And he's a very smart, successful engineer. And he's like, they're trying to fuck the little guy.
I mean, this is the best thing.
I'm telling you, they're going to lock people up. If you do not see people behind bars, this is going to be worse than riots. It's crazy. I've never seen so many people mad
and all agreeing. Who's standing up for Robinhood?
Yeah, nobody's standing up. I don't know one person.
Vlad against the world, right?
Oh, yeah, he tweeted out 40 minutes ago.
Vlad, just go.
Tweet back to Russia, bro.
You're not welcome here anymore.
No.
There actually isn't an argument on the other side. It's the first time. In 2021, can you imagine everyone's like, you're right. This is fucking wrong.
You know how Biden stays in office? He gets rid of these guys. Boom. 4 more years.
Lock them up.
I mean, I think you're going to see swift action from politicians because this is popular. So politicians will run with it.
Yeah.
And someone like an AOC, she wants blood. She's not going to sit around and just...
I can't wait for this.
She's been dying for this moment.
Yes, because this is...
she's actually on the right side of history. I don't agree with 90% of the things she says. Yeah. She's going to be right on this one.
But here's the thing.
She's been waiting for something that Dave Portnoy agrees with her on.
Yeah, but here...
Like,
but
let's
here,
fucking go.
Here's the thing that historically what the AOCs and Bernies are fighting for is just equal playing field.
Yeah.
It's just not equal in anything. You don't get the health care. You don't get the equal education. We know what happens. You fluke into the right... Your family has money. You fluke into the right private school. You go to Harvard. You get to be like me. But if you don't... But if you don't... Like Pete. You're Pete.
You're on the other side of the table.
You're on the other side of the table. And you're trying to flip some scammy Dodge coin.
Dang. Yep. Just fighting every day. You know what I mean?
You want to know a really funny part of it is... I have put options on GameStop. Okay. I thought the whole thing was bullshit from day one. And my put option the last 2 days went up significantly.
Yeah.
I wake up this morning, the stock is crashing. Uh-huh. So I'm like, I'm going to make like 10,000% because I'm so right and the expiration date was short. There are no, all option traders for this particular stock are on Robinhood. And you can't buy the freaking option. So, it went down in value, which doesn't make sense because there's no buyers.
Oh my gosh.
It's just insane. Like the whole thing.
This is like the whole reason why I'm so passionate about crypto, because the gatekeepers need to be removed.
Yes.
If this isn't like eye-opening for everyone,
yeah.
This is why people in crypto are so passionate. And if you go on crypto Twitter and you go on, I'm sure crypto TikTok, even though I would. No idea what goes on there.
Yeah.
But the passion is because this is the whole point of decentralization. If you actually want to make it a level playing field, you have to remove the gatekeepers. And that's what we talked about a lot is DeFi, decentralized finance. It's creating these products that everyone has access to, not just a fund with $1 billion that has a prime brokerage account that can go get 20 times leverage on their money. Like that's bullshit.
Yeah. You want to know what else I think it is? I think we've had like a year where like equality was a big topic. And mm-hmm. I think we kept saying that this is also what no one is talking about is the class issue, not just the race issue. And this is blatant in plain sight, an attack on class equality. And I think that's something that everyone agrees on. I think that's why everyone agrees on it. It's not controversial to like, you know, some people still are scared to say BLM. Some people are still scared about it. But a straight-up assault on a lower class is everyone agrees on that. That's why I think you're saying, like, AOC and Bernie, this is their whole thing. Yeah. But also Dave Portnoy agrees. Also Chamath agrees. Yeah. Everyone agrees.
Well, because I think this is – money is something that, you know, everyone can agree on that – whichever way you fall, money is something that should not be removed from people's hands.
Yeah.
And in this case, that's what happened. And I think what we have to realize is that if we don't change these things quickly, things like crypto become kind of, people believe that it's inevitable anyways, but it just accelerates the use cases for it.
Yeah.
And the idea of being decentralized, which I don't think people appreciate, is that there isn't a body that says, yes, this is okay. No, this is not okay. And that's the beauty of Bitcoin or all these other tokens that have been created. And the products that are being developed on Ethereum, Anand sent me a link for, I think it's called Mirror.
Mm-hmm.
And it effectively lets you to over-leverage stocks, exactly what Melvin Capital was doing on GameStop, but an individual can do it.
Yeah.
Cool. Now we get to do it. Fuck you.
Yeah.
So Vitalik Buterin, who wrote the white paper for Ethereum, he wrote it, I think, at 17 or 18.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's so the founder kid?
Yeah.
The guy?
Yeah, the creator. Guy. Yeah. He wrote
the white paper. He just looks so fucking young. When I see founder of Ethereum, I'm like,
yeah,
this
that
fucking
was like
guy?
5 years ago. Yeah. Yeah, 5 or 6 years ago. Yeah. The guy wrote it 17, 18. He was not a Harvard man, but somehow he's a genius.
Yeah.
Right?
That's weird.
He reimagined the financial system.
Yeah. Wait,
he makes Ken Griffin look like a fucking dummy.
And didn't go to Harvard? I don't know.
So this was a direct quote from Vitalik on why he got interested in writing the Ethereum white paper of decentralizing finance.
I remember this, yeah.
This is Vitalik's words. I happily played World of Warcraft during 2007 to 2010. But one day Blizzard's the company that owns World of Warcraft, removed the damage component from my beloved warlock Siphon Life spell. I cried myself to sleep, and on that day, I realized what horrors centralized services can bring.
Well, number one, holy shit.
Yeah.
Holy
fucking
shit.
That is the new financial system.
Yeah,
but was created because he realized in his early teens, like, this is the problem with gatekeepers.
Yeah. And that's what I was going to say is that's what happened today on steroids.
Yes.
All these people who bought stocks or whatever were going to, and it didn't go through because Robinhood shut it down. That's the same as Blizzard changing your beloved invisibility cloak or whatever the fuck he said.
Yeah, and I think,
do you think he's smarter than a Harvard man?
Well, I'm not willing to go that far.
No, we don't want to. I mean, to be fair, he's not, you know, he doesn't have a sweatshirt.
I haven't seen a sweatshirt. I haven't seen a degree. I haven't seen anything. Yeah. So not sure, but not bad. Good start.
Yeah. I think
he's only reimagining the financial system.
Well.
Globally.
But did he row crew? Did he?
Yeah. He's not a Winklevoss.
Is he a Winklevi? Does he know the Winklevi?
Yeah.
He definitely knows the Winklevi.
Does he have a flag? yeah, man. I really think that, like, when it comes to, we've been talking about the revolution, and I honestly think, like, this is what the revolution looks like.
Yeah.
And you're witnessing, I don't know. I just think on one hand, you witnessed on January 6th fucking buffoonery and all that. And that was so depressing. And I really think that this is so, like, this is so great.
Oh, it's
the sign of the power and the change and the what is happening here is incredible. Right now, it just feels very unfair and like, fuck you guys, fuck Robin Hood. But like, holy shit, man, what we're watching happen is really insane.
It's going to be such an amazing, the impact of all of the policies that are going to change, the acceleration of crypto awareness is just going to create amazing new companies, amazing new products, and a shitload of opportunity for everybody because that's, I think the thing why and I hate to keep bringing his name up, Dave Portnoy is so important because he just represents like the everyday person who's like, yeah, I'm hardworking. I kind of got it together, but I'm not like a genius or anything.
Yeah.
And he is now like, holy shit. Something that like we've always felt and always realized. We knew it. We saw it. We've seen it the last 12 years, 20 years, whatever. He is now articulating it to an audience of millions and millions of people who are now like, whoa, this is what's going on?
Because he's saying it in plain speak.
Yeah.
He's obviously a fucking smart dude.
Yeah.
But he knows how to talk where everyone can understand.
Yeah.
And what he's doing such a great service because he's breaking down what I was referring to earlier. They want to complicate it for you so that you think you shouldn't understand.
Yep.
And what Portnoy is doing is like, it's simple. This is what's going on. Here is the trickery. Here is the fraud. Here are the criminals. Yeah. And I'm going to identify each of these characters. Sure, some of the details might be muddy, but directionally, he's 100% right.
Yeah.
And that's honestly part of the reason we even do this podcast. We don't make money off this. We do this because we are lucky to be in rooms and conversations that we think need to be shared with everyone.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that is absolutely true. We're like Ethereum guy.
Yeah, Vitalik.
We should have wrote a white paper when we started.
We could still write a white paper. Just get a piece of paper that's white.
We should have said, while we were talking shit about other businesses and recapping ComplexCon.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's going to be the amount of things that are going to happen in the next 24 hours. I think everyone should really pay closely attention because you're going to see your Vlads and your Robin Hoods and your Citadels and your Steve Cohens and Ken Griffins all issue statements. I want to make a correction. Citadel, and maybe you can just edit this back to when I was, Citadel's number one holding is not Microsoft, it's Amazon. My mistake.
Oh, what a genius, Ken.
Ken
is a fucking company that delivers goods.
I'd rather keep that in because fuck this guy.
That changes everything.
Yeah, I mean, I want you to edit it back to there because Amazon is even more revolutionary than Microsoft.
This guy, Ken, is up to something. How did he figure it out?
I mean, this is what I don't understand. Is like, of all, look at like the lay of the land when it comes to hedge funds, all these people. who is actually necessary?
Well, that's the point, is that if could you build a software, an artificial intelligence software that scrapes Robinhood's data and says, these are the large cap stocks. These are the caps that that feel like they're trending in the right way. And boom, just invest in those. Because what is Ken Griffin's team doing? It's not the Seattle Mariners. They're not trying to get to the World Series. He doesn't want to hit a bat.
Yeah.
He literally is just telling, go do a bunch of homework and follow the cash. And where was the cash the last 10 years? Big tech. You look at his top 10 holdings. It's Amazon. It's S&P 500. Facebook. Activision. And he bought QQQ, which is just the top 100 NASDAQ stocks. NVIDIA, T-Mobile, Adobe, Wells Fargo, Bristol. I mean, this guy doesn't have one pick in here that requires any real diligence. What is he doing? Oh, yeah. People play video games? I mean,
who? 220, baby.
Yeah, what's the... I don't...
Like, there's literally what am I doing one, here? I could be this guy.
But I think where we move from here is really... a lot of information is going to come out in the next couple of days. This is not going anywhere, right? This is now, this is taking over COVID. This is taking over. People have forgotten about the Twitter president.
COVID's down. COVID's down 30%, I saw. Who yeah. cared? We're good.
Yeah.
COVID's done. Trading.
And I think we just really need to now, as citizens, put pressure on the politicians to not let up. Because they need to hold people accountable. We've never held people accountable for financial crimes.
Yep.
Think about what did Bernie Madoff have to do to finally get arrested? What did Jeffrey Epstein have to do? He had to, three times after getting caught for pedophilia, he finally gets arrested.
Yeah.
We can't just let people get away with shit all the fucking time. Like, people have to be held accountable for what they do in life. And this is why I love Bernie Sanders, because this is his whole life mission has been about this. And education, health insurance, where is it? We can't even get sell GameStop stock. You're talking about health insurance?
Yeah. Yeah, we're worried. Like, who can? Which is trading at near all-time highs, is currently closed Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. So... you don't have to be a math genius. You're probably more valuable when you're open 7 days a week than 4 days a week.
Oh, good point.
Yeah, and by the way, why is that stock still up? That thing should be pummeled to the fucking ground.
It should be zero. If all these CNBC jackass reporters want to do their job in an honest way and talk about fundamentals, talk about that.
Yeah.
Talk about Live Nation. Talk about Wynn. Talk about software companies trading at 150 times forward revenue.
Yeah.
Where's the earnings?
And by the way, Apple, which had a $111 billion quarter, record revenue ever in American history, and stock went down. Fundamentals. Oh, yeah.
Fundamentals.
Fundamentals.
And then, what's up with the zoom out strategy, Tim?
Oh, it's still working. You okay. Zoom out to the month, we're still up.
Okay. You're 40%, I think.
Got it.
So, and then the Winklevoss went on CNBC this morning, and I actually got to catch it live.
Yep.
And the reporter, whoever is the jackass sitting at the desk, he was honestly trying to create a viral moment for himself. So the Winklevi were explaining who made the call that these guys have to remove these stocks? Who made the call that restaurants have to be closed during COVID? Who made the call? Like, they didn't make any accusations. I was watching it. And the reporter just started screaming and yelling, who told you Robinhood got told by the authorities? Do you have that information? And he was actually like screaming. And the Winklevi handled it perfectly, very reserved and calm.
That's that Harvard
training.
They teach you that there, right?
Yeah, got that's it. That Harvard mentality.
That patience.
That Amanda
patience,
Gorman. You know,
we had all class about that.
Yeah, right, he kept saying, rewind the tape. I didn't say that. Here's what I'm saying. And the reporter wanted to go viral so badly. And I watched probably another 20 minutes after the Winklevi were done, and he kept replaying the clip of him yelling and screaming. Like, what world are we in?
I honestly think that we are seeing a shift in, like, the way that we perceive. Like, you're watching, like, mainstream media crumble. You're watching these institutions that you just won because you won. Because that was the system, and you were in or you were out. And you're I really think you're watching it fall apart.
I do. I honestly believe that Wall Street, as it exists, as of today, will change. It'll be so drastically different. It may not happen overnight, but now what's going to happen is the next Vitalik is sitting in his room, got fucked over 50 grand. Oh, yeah. He's like, I'm going to fuck all these people now.
Yeah.
Well, it's the next kid that's going to like just hack Robinhood.
Well, no, like, I know the next Vitalik's going to actually build the next DeFi platform.
I agree totally. I'm just saying you don't understand the level. These people don't understand the level of you just can't piss this many people off. And these people are smart. And they can communicate now, and they're all on the same page. And whether they're running up a game, GameStop stock, or they're hacking you, or they're like, you're gonna pay for it.
Yeah,
there's no way out of this anymore. You can't do the because I said so game.
Because by the way, if in a year all these investigations committees happen, and Citadel is given a fine, and Robinhood's given a fine, and nothing happens, it's just not gonna fly. There's no way. AOC and Ted Cruz, who agree, are just going to be like, yeah, here's $1 billion fine. No, yeah, they're going to.
So do you think Robinhood's IPO is postponed indefinitely?
Yes.
If they did that, I think it would be the most disastrous.
Yeah. I mean, they're going to drive it to zero.
Day one.
Like Silver Lake is going to.
That was fake.
Well, I'm just saying people like that who are going to back. Because, by the way, what's quietly, we still don't know who are all the people. Who was driving that GameStop stock up besides just ETFs? There are some other funds that cleaned up.
Yeah.
And so they're going to be like, cool, you want to drive Robinhood stock to the ground? We'll help you. Because they can make money, they're going to do it.
Oh, no.
Pete was saying he wanted to put his entire life savings in Robinhood. Has that changed?
Yes.
I mean, overnight.
I think that's
Robinhood went from the most beloved brand in this shit to hated.
It's literally hated. Fast.
It's hated like more than anything. More than
I mean, hated more than ISIS. That Clubhouse room I was in this morning, we were all talking of like, what are our other options? Because people need to know of other options. A lot of people don't know there are other options as well. They think Robinhood is just like the only one you go on to.
I just don't think now you see there's room for a new great platform that doesn't do that. There's room for, like, I just feel like when you hear all these Bitcoin conversations and you hear all these, there's so much room for places that aren't within the old guard.
I mean, I think what it will do is it'll make you want to trade crypto because there's never going to be a moment that, you know, if crypto prices plummet, it'll be because someone's dumped a ton of it or I think there'll be more transparency on why it plummeted or why it went up. Before, we didn't know why stocks went up, why stocks went down. Mm-hmm. I mean, the joke is that the stocks only go up.
Yeah.
Why? Because it was the Fed just was. I was watching Jerome Powell on TV yesterday. They're still buying $120 billion of assets a month. On what? What are you doing? You won't give people $1,400, but you're just giving $120 billion to prop up more bullshit-ass assets?
Yeah.
That doesn't make sense. Like, how many trillion have we given out? 5-6 trillion when it's all said and done after this next one?
We were at, I think it's 7 to 8 trillion post-March 2020.
Okay. How much went to people? A trillion?
Probably. The rest went to fake the fundamentals for all these shitty ass stocks, and now we care about fundamentals.
Yeah. I mean, half of that $7 trillion.
Like, how do these people sit there with a straight face on CNBC and tell the American public what are the fundamentals of GameStop?
Because they're in on the fix. Because if.
No, but they say it so like brazen. I'm like, what are you talking about?
Because you know why?
They actually believe it, though.
Because 5 years...
Yeah, that's my point. Yeah. They believe it.
Because 10 years ago, they would get up on stage and say this stuff, and we believed it. And now, it's exposed. Everything's exposed.
Go ahead. I'm just saying, they believe it. It's the way it's structured. Like they don't... All these people don't go home at night, I don't think, and think like, man, I'm robbing people. This is borderline criminal. This is crazy. You just go home believing... Yeah, another great day of fundamentals.
And yeah.
This is, I rose to the top. I'm one of the smartest. And now that whole belief of how this works is getting disrupted. And that's so hard to swallow.
Yeah.
And you're like, wait, but fundamentals?
Yeah.
But Harvard?
Because what they kept saying in the over the summer was like, you know, we believe in the American economy. We're going to back these companies.
Bullshit, bullshit, right?
That's
bullshit.
What they kept saying. Now we don't believe in the American economy with GameStop, BlackBerry, Nokia, Blockbuster.
Those are great brands.
Those are all American.
No. They're great companies.
No.
BlackBerry's
no.
Canadian.
Those are, listen,
whatever. But my point is,
these are hoodlums on Reddit.
Yeah.
It's just criminal.
Yeah. It also shows how they really think about people. If you think like, oh, these are just a bunch of idiots on Reddit that all ganged up to make a trending topic, like you fundamentally not only are missing the point, but you think everyone else other than you and your Harvard buddies are idiots.
Yeah. Yes, because we all know hedge funds collude. They talk about ideas privately. Yeah.
What do you think the Hamptons is for?
Yes. It's just a nice neighborhood.
It's just a collusion island.
Yeah, collusion
and Leon Black. Don't forget Leon Black's a Hampton Knight.
Yeah,
he's also a big.
Yeah, this has been really good for Leon Black. Everyone forgot about him. Don't worry, Leon. I did not forget about you. We're definitely going to expose your punk ass.
Leon's probably hyped right now.
Yes.
Leon is like, just keep talking about GameStop.
Yeah.
It's all good.
Really good is.
Seriously, fuck Leon Black. I
just
want to
point out, because we are streaming for the listener, we're streaming live on Twitch right now. And I don't want to be corny here, but somebody said we were watching our country crumble. And I don't think that is what we're watching.
No.
I think you're watching
a revolution.
Old, yeah.
This is
you're
the watching revolution.
Old broken institutions old ladies, crumble. Yeah. You're watching our country be built, essentially.
Yeah.
Rebuilding our financial system. Yeah. I mean, we saw like the activism over the summer. This is the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
This is about money.
And this is actually unifying.
Yeah.
This is the one time it's unifying because it's, whether you're
Michael Katz just texted us, easy on the Hamptons.
Hey, home price will be cheaper. You get a bigger house.
Yeah. Next to like a guy from Wall Street Bets will be our new neighbor. Oh,
yeah, because the honest truth is the hedge fund guy doesn't want the Wall Street Bets guy buying the fancy penthouse down the floor.
No, no, no.
Right?
Well, there is a great meme of this couple coming in. We'll pay cash $27 million, and it's just like this average-looking couple that were on Reddit that made all this money. And that's what the scariest thing, because this happened with racism. You didn't want the rich Black family to come to your neighborhood. Like Chris Rock has that famous skit where he's just like, "I'm one of the most successful comedians ever, and I live in this neighborhood." My neighbor is a dentist, and he's just not that good of a dentist. He's just like, okay, dentist, right? And that scares America when all of a sudden that like slob from Reddit shows up to YC and says, you know what, give me that fucking mountain, move Jeff Bezos' house, and I'm richer than everyone. Yeah. That scares everybody. Yeah. They don't want that.
You like your little boys club.
Yeah, and they like, because literally little boys per Leon Black.
Well, I don't even want to get into that, but you just like you like it the way it is.
Yes,
you like
of
the other old white dudes. You like the country club.
Yeah,
you like it.
And people don't like change in general. And when it comes to talk about race, money, education, the fact that like you don't need to have an education, you don't need to be from a certain background, you don't have to be a certain race, you don't have to look like a certain somebody, and you get to be a billionaire, that pisses people off.
Yeah. Okay, well, I just want to go ahead and point out again, for the rest of our lives, the GameStop logo has gained a new meaning and we'll always remember it.
The game has stopped.
It's incredible. The game has just started.
It's cool. And I said this earlier, I've never been, to your point, I've never been more inspired for change.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I think it's coming.
Yeah.
I need to see people in handcuffs.
Yeah.
I also think sometimes we say like, I want to make sure I say this right. Like, protesting or like even like the cancel culture, the hashtags are all protesting isn't whack, but let's say hashtags and all that stuff. So whack because it's like actually like do something, make a change. This is making a change. This is forcing a change.
Yeah. Yes.
This isn't like hashtag cancel Wall Street.
Yeah.
You know, like this is like, holy shit. You can't help.
And the thing that I love about it is that it's very much what happens on Wall Street. It's called like, which is called like a momentum trade. You see all the momentum going somewhere, you hop on board and you take advantage of that momentum. It's happened. It always happens in stocks.
They build fucking like do this momentum.
Every 5 minutes, you're getting a fucking very powerful person jump on this momentum trade. Because here's the thing, tech, particularly Silicon Valley tech, they don't really make money off this, right? Their whole hustle is something different. We'll get to them later. Yep. They can support this change and it doesn't affect their pocketbook. Whereas finance folks can't support it because this is their game.
Yep.
So you have very wealthy people that are going to support this. And unfortunately, you got to have money support you on something like this. Otherwise, you're not going to get any real change. Because if you have Dave Portnoy and Chamath sitting in Congress saying, I want flattened handcuffs, there's going to be people, signs, marching in Times Square saying, I want Vlad handcuffs.
I know we have some young listeners that don't remember Occupy Wall Street from a decade ago.
That was crazy.
And imagine Occupy Wall Street times 10,000 with everyone's money actually getting screwed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I don't want to hate on Occupy Wall Street by any means, but what I remember of it was more like tents and, you know, this is like, you can't just wait this out.
Mm-hmm.
Like this is, you have to address this.
It's going to happen fast. I mean, if Robinhood goes public and people find out Vlad and his homie are worth billions of dollars, it's going to be anarchy. You can't let them out.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Listen, it's chaotic. It's hectic. But we do have a nice, positive, good cause that we have a little interview about here. You guys are teaming up with a very good cause, and we're gonna learn all about it.
Yeah, it's exciting.
So let's jump into that.
And then some positivity.
Let's end with some positivity, and then winners, losers content.
Yeah, we'll have to call some losers out after the positivity.
There's plenty of them.
Yes.
All right, and our boy Josh just walked in.
Yeah, door creaks.
Just door creaks. Josh walks in, just takes a seat, and all of a sudden, there's a face on the Zoom cam. What are you doing here,
Josh?
We're
security.
What's up, guys?
What's going on? You don't have a mask? This guy, I don't know what he does in his spare time.
Yeah. Here, I'll let him talk.
Oh God!
What do we got, Josh?
Yeah, well, thanks for having me back on.
Yeah.
Well, we didn't really.
You kind of just bombarded. But you're welcome, I guess.
I did bring a friend. So I came on today because we have an incredible new collaboration with it's Melrose Place and the Able Cafe podcast. I'm here with Michael Cooney, the host of Able Cafe. Michael, why don't you tell us a little bit about the new podcast you just launched?
Thank you so much. I'm so happy to be with you guys. So Able Cafe is a podcast. The original idea was to be a platform for people with disabilities, have a place to go. Because I have been a teacher of people with disabilities. I have a disability myself. I have cerebral palsy. I grew up with cerebral palsy. I was one of the first people to be mainstreamed in the old days. So I was a little bit of a trailblazer with that. So, you know, I always wanted to have a place to go that I didn't have when I was younger. And as a teacher, I learned all these things about, you know, my students with disabilities. And they literally said to me, please, can we have a place to go where we can meet people and talk about disability issues and really get to know, you know, ourselves and those around us? That's where it started. But really what it's become is a place to talk about abilities. You know, it's Able Cafe. It's not about disabilities. So all kinds of abilities and all kinds of people and what your, you know, special ability is. So I'm very happy to be here. And yeah, we have now 13 episodes done. So it's very exciting.
Wow, that's awesome.
That's so cool.
That's really cool.
And I'm going to, you know, comment. You're wearing a Navy t-shirt. Given what's happened this week, Harvard has kind of got a bad name. I might switch to Navy. Navy seems more.
Yeah. That's probably a good call.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think Harvard's done.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Flagged out.
Yeah. I might give up on Harvard.
I'm going to say it depends on where you are. West Hollywood, go with Harvard.
Yes.
I think anywhere else, Middle America, go Navy.
That's incredible.
Well, it's kind of complicated for me because my mom taught at Harvard. I'm from Boston originally. My mom taught at Harvard, but my great-grandfather and my grandfather and my aunts, all Navy. So wow. I got everything covered. I got everything covered.
Yeah. You have a lot of t-shirts.
I think the genesis of the podcast is amazing and it's really cool you're doing that. Can you speak to more about when you talk about the abilities, which I think is really important for people that are going through challenges, physically, mentally, whatever it is, how are you expressing it? What kind of motivation is it? I just want to learn more because I think it's awesome.
Well, we're focusing on creativity because, you know, I am a guy, you know, when I was younger, I was always an entertainment industry guy on the East Coast and now on the West Coast. I was always interested in fashion and what was happening in the world. And so I really wanted to bring that to the Able Cafe podcast. It's not about we're going to hit you over the head with people who are different and make you learn something. You know, it's about, you know, making disabilities cool. And you can be in a wheelchair or have Down syndrome or be blind or be hard of hearing or deaf and still be cool. Because I didn't feel that when I was younger. I felt like there was something wrong with me. And I knew that I was different from everybody around me. And really, I wanted to create something that I didn't have when I was younger. And to say that you know, you're cool with what you're doing is like, it's like what we try to talk about on Able Cafe. And it's for all kinds of people, you know, because I've heard from so many people who don't have disabilities that say like, wow, I didn't know that. You opened my eyes to something. And also I had the same exact experience. So we're building bridges and opening doors for people. And it's been great. It's been really great.
Do you feel that adults with disabilities are kind of, I don't want to sound negative, but like forgotten in mainstream in terms of like, you know, there's not a lot of awareness on it. And I think what you're doing is bringing a lot of awareness because I think there's this notion that you're different. And the reality is we're all different as human beings as it is. And there's probably enormous job opportunities that aren't given to a lot of people that I'm sure you shedding a light on this is like, are just normalizing it. Cause I think just normalizing things, to me, it says, if you thought about race 50 years ago, where like, you'd be like, can a black person have this job? And, you know, it took so long for people to think that you can normalize race as like all races are smart and have ability. And my guess is your feeling is like, I'm from the adult side. Like, why isn't there more awareness there?
Well, I honestly think that what I've learned from my own experience and from the people that I've been around is like, it's not that people with disabilities are forgotten. We're not even looked at yet. There's nothing to forget yet. You know, like we were right at the beginning
Fuck,
of this.
That sucks. You know?
So we have this opportunity to really build a culture for ourselves now. Past, you know, what you tell people with disabilities is, you know, you can't do stuff, you know, so be happy with what you have. There's a big focus on what you can't do, you know, and to sort of incrementally be happy with what you have, you know, and we're kind of, you know, breaking the doors down and saying like, no, you can do a whole lot more than you think you can, because, you know, I've owned now three or four different businesses in my life. And I try to hire people with disabilities. And what comes back to me a lot is I don't feel like I can do the job. That scares me. And you know, what we're trying to do now with Able Cafe is to show people what they can do, because I think it's limitless potential at this point in terms of employment and owning your own business and having your own agency in the world, you know? So I think the sky's the limit at this point for people with disabilities.
Yeah, especially given like today's climate of like, we don't even know who we're working with half the time. You know, people are working from all over the world. You're mm-hmm. working from home. There's people, you know, I could be getting services from some Indian kid in India that's 16 years old that's designing a graphic for me, right? Like you have no idea. So right. I think there's no excuse now in terms of like, discrimination in my opinion, because like for the most part we don't even meet people before we do business with them. I mean, for the last year we haven't met anybody. Yes. So do you think that like maybe pandemic actually helped your kind of movement in terms of like
I think it's helped it tremendously because, you know, what I hear from a lot of people with disabilities is like, we're stuck at home now. You know, give us something to do. Give us something to listen to. Give us something to, you know. And so, like, the fact that Able Cafe is growing in the pandemic is not a coincidence. Like, this is a tremendous opportunity to talk directly to the community about what they can do and what their abilities are and say, you know, the sky's the limit for you. And let's talk about our experiences together and then talk to the rest of the world about, like, watch what people can do. Like, you know, so many, honestly, dude, so many people that I've met in my life have said to me, and not trying to be offensive, but they said to me, you know, oh, I you don't seem like a person with disability at all to me. Like, you know, and yeah. I'm like, well, what do you think that means? What does that mean to you? You know? And for a lot of people, what the stereotype is like, you know, helpless, yeah. You know, pitiful, that kind of thing. There's no pity on Able Cafe and there's no helplessness. It's all about what you can do, not what your limitations are.
So you have, you know, business owners sitting here, a ton of business owners listening. I think it would be helpful to understand how, because this is obviously very informational for us as well. How mm-hmm. should we be approaching this? Because, you know, 10 years ago, we were getting coached on diversity in the workplace between men and women and races and inclusion. And some people have made a lot of progress and some people haven't. But, like, I think education is extremely important to constantly right. remind people. So, like, as business owners, how do we help you and your cause? Because, like, we obviously have influence here. Tell us what to do.
Well, I think it's all about opportunity, man. I think it's all about opportunity. So that when somebody, because I know from my own life that, you know, I would go for a job interview and somebody would look at me and say, like, oh, no, I made a decision about Michael Cooney right away, about what he can do and what he can't do. And they don't know. They don't know. Yeah. So it's all about giving the opportunity to the individual. And, you know, if that individual is not right for that job, then that's you know, that's okay. We should be given the same opportunities to fail as anybody else. Yeah. And if we yeah. fail at it, then that's okay.
You know? My recommendation, wear a Harvard t-shirt.
I thought we just went over this.
No, but going for a job interview, you wear a Harvard shirt, you're getting fucking hired.
Got it.
I'm just saying, like, you show up to Goldman Sachs with a Harvard t-shirt, they're not going to even look at your resume. They're like, all right, he's a Harvard guy.
Welcome. Hey, brother.
That solves it.
Welcome.
Well, I will say about that, you know, if there was a girl that I liked in high school and she wasn't talking to me on a Tuesday, on Wednesday, I would wear the Harvard shirt.
See, it works.
He's playing.
He's known this his whole life.
So, what's the collaboration?
I get it down.
Yeah. So, one other thing I wanted to add, which is a really interesting statistic that Michael and I have used for quite some time now, is that if the disabled community were an officially recognized minority group, it would actually be the largest minority group in the U.S.
Wow.
And so that's something when you think about the social injustice movements of the past few years and BLM and everything that we discussed, that you guys discuss here on the podcast, this is the one group that nobody's talking about. It's the one group that, to Michael's point, is judged as a book by its cover, the same way that race is judged. And so what we're trying to do is create awareness, what we've been doing for a very long time together, is creating employment opportunities. That's the primary goal. Is when you think about the interview process as a neurotypical individual graduating from a good school and showing up and having your portfolio ready, imagine if right away you're judged from yeah. your mm-hmm. physical appearance, from your speech, from yeah. your you know, social cues, et cetera, immediately you're at a disadvantage. And so what we're trying to do is really bridge the gap between the perception and reality when it comes to those abilities. And so over the years, Mike and I actually met as instructors. We taught at a school for adults with developmental disabilities, and we've been doing a lot of really great work since together, going on 12 years now, which is really crazy to think about. And so this is just one additional step in that direction. We have created a t-shirt with Melrose Place that It's a really cool, biased, I guess, but really cool graphic, yeah. Front, back, that 100% of the proceeds will go towards the Able Cafe and the Partner Institute for Maximum Human Potential to create more employment opportunities for adults with disabilities. The t-shirt will be available on the site starting today, Friday, through next Sunday. So 1 week, 1 week and change. We would love if the Kathys, Michael, by the way, is also a Kathy.
Oh, nice.
Nice.
Nice, Michael.
Thank
I've
you.
Been enjoying you guys for a long time.
Thank you.
Thanks
you,
for listening. Man.
And so, you know, what we want to do is rally the support of the Kathys around this cause. And yeah, it's there's also a discount code.
Of course.
Because, of course, we have to support the Kathy wallets, especially in this trying time. I know you guys talked a lot about what's going on with GameStop and everything.
Yeah.
I believe, Pete, you can maybe share some of the details. I think it's code group chat.
Correct. For 40.
40%
off. 40%
off.
This guy doesn't give out discounts.
I was going to
set a pry that
I usually got to do earmuffs.
Honestly, when pay they talk full price. It's a good cause.
Yeah.
Don't use the code.
Wow.
All right.
Okay.
Auden's the money guy.
Anyway, use the code. if you made the big gains you say you made on GameStop.
If you were able to sell your GameStop stock before yesterday,
don't use the price.
Yeah. If you didn't get it, you can use the code.
You can use the code.
Well, awesome. Thanks, Josh. Thanks, Michael. This is fantastic.
Thank you. Thank
get us some resumes.
Yes.
That's what we should be focused on.
Yes.
Thank Absolutely. You. Absolutely. Anything else, Mike, before we let you go?
No, I'm just super excited about all of this. And I'm super excited about the partnership because, you know, what people don't know oftentimes about people with disabilities is we really care about how we look. And the fact that we're doing a cool shirt with your company, Josh, is like, it's going to change people's lives, I think, and make them feel better about themselves. So I'm super excited and thankful.
That's amazing, man.
Amazing.
Amazing.
Great work.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you so much, man.
Thank you.
All right, guys, we're going to get some winners, losers, content. Anand, who's your winner?
It's obvious.
Who?
The common man.
Wow.
For the first time ever, the common man is going to prevail. We talked about it at length for over an hour. Even though a lot of people got screwed in the last 24 hours, I'm hopeful there's going to be change and the rigged machine will become less rigged. Won't be fully unrigged, mm-hmm. but less rigged for average people to participate.
I definitely agree with that. I mean, my winner is definitely Ken Griffin.
he made $6.4 billion last year.
Yes, he made $6.4 billion. He's worth some ungodly amount of money. He, unfortunately, he may get arrested. He may go to jail. But it'll be for a short period of time.
Mm-hmm.
His reputation will be ruined, mm-hmm. but he'll still get to be a billionaire. He'll still get to have his homes. He'll still get to have everything. And someone that, you know, played a smart trade that could have made money that changed their life today, couldn't sell their stock, couldn't make money on it. And he gets to do that. And you didn't. So he's a winner. And that's what we have to change. That Ken Griffin should never fucking be a winner ever again.
Yeah.
He's a... Unfortunately, the way the system is set up, it is so rigged. You guys, you know, people in finance would understand this, but like we sit in those rooms, we sit with those people. We've met the biggest funds in the world. They're not that fucking smart.
No, they're not.
They're just not. We've sat in the rooms with the biggest funds in the world. We've had lunches, dinners, partied with them. They're no smarter. They're smarter than Pete, but like... They're no smarter than like some.
I don't know. Pete had a popping clubhouse room.
Yeah.
Maybe Pete's smarter than them.
I don't know. I saw Plug Power the other day. It didn't look like it was doing too well.
Plug Power's been great. Are you kidding me? I've like quadrupled my money on that one.
Yeah. But my point being is that like they've scared people. People like Ken Griffin they bullied people into thinking that they are needed. And like for me, there needs to be faces for this movement to take down. And he's one of them.
Mm-hmm.
But he's still a winner.
Got it.
Who's your loser?
Oh, my loser is Wall Street Wealth. And it's because you guys are peanuts. So Wall Street guys think they're so rich and they talk about their billions. So if you go down the list, the top private equity guy is worth $5 to $8 billion.
Yeah. The guy from Zara is worth more.
I can name 10 founders that have made north of that this year in technology.
Yeah.
Technology has upended Wall Street. Wall Street, you're a bunch of fucking losers.
Yeah.
Technology is prevailing and they're coming for you. They're coming for you. You have tech billionaires actively.
Well, the richest man in the world.
Yeah, richest man in the world, Elon Musk. They're coming for you to expose the fraud that Wall Street is.
Yeah.
And they know it's a fraud because at least these tech founders are creating value. All Wall Street's doing is exchanging paper and creating no value.
Yeah, and I think if you think about finance of the future, that model, that 2 in 20 that's made all these people billions of dollars, just it's not going to exist. I'm sorry. I mean, maybe in venture it exists to a certain extent.
Yeah, because you're doing outsized returns.
Yeah.
And like, so, look at Benchmark.
Yeah.
They returned 30, 40x their funds.
Yeah. So it's fine. But like these traditional, like a mutual fund.
Yeah. I mean, those don't need to exist.
Yeah. And I think,
like, why is the Norwegian sovereign fund giving $100 billion to any of these guys? Just go put it in. Norwegian sovereign fund. Let me solve your problems. You have $1 trillion.
Yeah.
Put $100 billion in Facebook, $100 billion in Microsoft, $100 billion in
Amazon,
$100 billion in Google, and then sprinkle the other $500 billion in SaaS companies. One of them will hit.
And then maybe throw in a little bit on a Dogecoin or a Plug Power. And
you never know.
My point is, it's like the jig is up.
Yeah, it's over.
It's over.
Yeah, it's completely like, over.
This last 48 hours made me so bullish on technology. Like, I'm obviously the one that keeps saying the next 10 years of technology are going to be way better than the last 10 years. I've never been more confident in my life because of the last 48 hours.
So you're not a big Wells Fargo guy?
No.
No.
My loser, and it's a short-term loser, it's all the people that were trading in the last 48 hours because that shit stings. I remember losing money. I'll share a story. In 1998, my dad's friend came to me and said, my dad was telling him how I'm super interested in the stock market. And he goes, he started talking to me about it one day. And he's like, oh, you actually know what you're talking about. I was a nerd about this stuff when I was 15 years old. And so in 1999, and I'll tell you why, how affected it stung me, is in 1999, the first dot-com boom started happening. This guy gave me money. I think he gave me $50,000, if I remember correctly.
It's just crazy. That's equivalent to like $500,000 now.
Okay, yeah. He gave me 50 grand. He said, I will split the profits with you. I was like, fuck, that's amazing. I got that thing up to like $250,000. $250,000. I was 19 years old. We go to India for the summer.
Not a good broadband connection back then.
Not a big broadband connection. And I'm not checking. We're on vacation. I didn't think anything would happen. I come home. It's down to 50 fucking grand. I'm watching it weekly go down. But like, I don't know what's going on. I'm not paying attention. And the dot-com bubble burst. And I lost all my money. Lost everything. I got nothing. And I remember my mom telling me, sell it. Go buy a Ferrari. She literally said that. I remember she tongues like, why don't you go buy a car? Look how much money this is. And I was like, no, this is going to be millions of dollars. And I know that's what you were thinking yesterday, all of you, that you had made some money and you're going to make millions of dollars. The thing about what Wall Street people do is they take profits. Mm-hmm. They take out their principal. They take money along the way. All the way they take money out. And they'll ride it with a little bit. We, as just the common man, because we're just trying to like make it, we fucking roll everything into it. And then we lose. And we lose big because we lose all the money that we earned or we made money on. And I remember that happened to me. And I hated the stock market. I don't think I didn't invest for 10 fucking years. And only till when Anand started getting into startup investing did I start putting my money, because I felt so like violated. And you know, that's how you're going to feel today because you got robbed, essentially got robbed. And it took me like such a long time to get comfortable with parting with my money because I just felt like the game was just fixed. And I missed out. I probably could have made a lot of money if I had just kept investing in mm-hmm. stocks and didn't sell everything and whatever it is. But I think, you know, despite that we're all losers today, there's going to be a massive amount of change that comes. But the most important thing you need to do, because I get emailed about this all the time and DM'd about it, is you need to educate yourself. And unfortunately, I can't recommend a book because I don't think a book teaches you what's happening truly in finance today. But I think you can learn a lot by listening to this podcast, listening to a lot of other people in finance. And when you find out, you're going to have this aha moment. It is as simple as you think. And when you think about investing long term, if you don't know what to do, we're here to tell you Apple, Amazon, these are companies that if you can learn how to read a P&L and a balance sheet, you're going to look at those companies and be like, oh my God, they're going nowhere. They're going to get bigger. And then you'll start discovering how to look at a balance sheet and look at a profit and loss statement. And you'll become the smart person in the room. So that's really, even though you're a loser today, you can quickly educate yourself on how to properly invest. Because if you look at the story of the deep fucking value guy on GameStop, he just did his own homework. And he saw mm-hmm. what happened on GameStop. And any of you guys could have figured that out. And all you have to do is just learn yourself. Take the time to learn about finance. It's such an intimidating thing because there's a bunch of Harvard pricks running around talking about it.
Using mm-hmm. big words that they don't need to be using.
Yeah, derivatives. Shut the fuck up.
Shut the fuck up.
Yeah. Derivatives.
I put you in your face, motherfucker.
Nonsense.
Yeah, it's complete nonsense.
A bunch of letters need to go to Wall Street when things open up and yeah. actually show up.
Yeah.
Show their faces.
Yeah. What's your content?
Content, I just sent Pete the link. It's the full 30-minute interview of Chamath on CNBC.
Okay.
I know we talked about everything at length, but it was just so refreshing to see a billionaire go against the establishment on national television on CNBC to that audience. And I thought it was fucking awesome. I sent Pete the link because I know the full interview is technically behind a paywall, but I found a link where you can actually see the full interview without the paywall. I watched it this morning. Pete will post it. Give it a listen.
That's great. My content isn't related to any of this stuff. It is a movie called One Night in Miami. But it's not what you think. It's on Amazon Prime. It's a fictional night in Miami with Muhammad Ali, Sam Cooke, Malcolm wow. X, and Jim Brown. It's incredible. Incredible movie. And it's not, I don't even want to explain it because you're going to think One Night in Miami, it's about partying and all that stuff. It's not. It's something super powerful. It's so cool like a movie like this got made. So go definitely check it out.
Great. Pete, you got anything? Shout outs? Tim, where's our guy?
Here we go.
This is from Neil Armstrong, first man on the moon.
Okay. Funny fact about, no, did Neil Armstrong speak to the commencement speech at my graduation?
Did he?
I think he did.
Wow. I'd warn Christopher.
Well, he says, hello, hello. Hope your day has been spectacular. Important announcement for today, so listen closely. Before I get to that, my winner of the week is GameStop for obvious reasons. My loser of the week is any of D's companies because he could have had a stellar IPO and made a bag, but decided to pursue building profitable businesses with healthy cash flow instead. Who does that? My content recommendation is short story long. Anyway, a few days ago, I asked a question about influencer businesses. Since then, Mr. Beast announced that for $10, anyone could send a picture to the moon as part of NASA's sponsorship moon mission.
Wow.
It would be part of a hard drive that would serve as the universe's first digital time capsule. I paid the $10, but couldn't pick a photo, so I used an app to edit a collage instead, so there are six smaller pictures in one. Five of those pictures are me with my family and friends. I randomly decided the last this last second that the sixth picture would be an old pic that I took with one of you guys. I won't reveal who it was, but now when people say group chat to the moon, it actually means something.
Wow.
For one of you, at least.
I mean, this guy's leaving crumb trails.
Yeah.
Well, confirmed our shout out listener did do the commencement speech at my 2005 USC graduation. Oh, so we reconnect 15 years later.
I have another shout out from Ashley, Palm Springs, she's from Palm Springs, living in Stockholm, Sweden. Shout out. Hey, guys. Love what you're doing. Been listening since the beginning, thanks to Gilly. And it makes me feel like I'm back in Cali every single time. You guys keep me updated and laughing. Glad Pete's back and COVID-free. Don't want to shout out anyone. Just want to say thanks for making me the smartest in the room. Lots of love, Ashley.
Gilly, awesome. Gilly.
Yeah, what's Gilly? Can you?
Is our friend Gilly.
And my other shout out goes to at the handle Chelsea_smile. She actually tweeted at us a really funny tweet. Somebody said $0 invested in stocks, but 100% invested in the energy. Hold the line. Do not sell. I love this song. She then quoted it and said how I felt the last 2 years listening to group chat.
It's amazing.
So she's got the energy. Sounds like she's not invested any dollars in the market, but pretty good.
No point. Just wait it out.
It's more fun to watch, honestly.
It's way more fun. It's too dangerous right now.
I pulled out this morning. I got scared. And I was in it for the wrong reason. I was trying to make money and then it dipped to like 120 and I bought it at like 320. And I was like, I can't do this. It's too much for me. I got out. I might buy back in tomorrow though.
Oh my God. That's amazing. All right, guys. We will see you. We have a couple special guests on Sunday, I believe.
Yes. Sunday will be a big, big episode.
Great. Excited for that.
Thanks, guys.
Peace.